Welcome to spring. Spring has sprung. And, you know, I just love this time of the year, the beautiful experiences we get to have, like hay fever. And I mean, smelling nice flowers. I grew up in Toowoomba where the Carnival of Flowers is. Anyone been there? Who's been to the carnival? Who's seen the floats? I was on one of those floats as a kid. Probably the most embarrassing moment of my life. And I'll never show you the video footage. Anyway, you're wondering, what was he wearing? Well, tights. And I was holding a puppy that couldn't walk. It was too young. It was part of the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe theme. And I was a pleb on the ground. Anyway, so that's another thing. But you're all going, are you serious? I'm like, yes, I am. Spring brings back all these memories, you see. But no, I mean, spring is a great time of the year though, right? It is a beautiful time of the year where all the flowers pop, everything going on. And as you're out there walking, you get swooped by a magpie. Anyone had that so far? Anyone had that? Yeah. Yeah. Who this year? Have you had one this year? Who's been swooped this year? Joe, you've been swooped? Man, you got swooped twice? Didn't learn the first time? Same bird? Same bird? Where did it happen, Norton? The back of Wellington Point. Okay, don't go to the back of Wellington Point. You'll get... Who else has been swooped? Bill, you've been swooped this year. By a butcher bird. At Wellington Point. At his place. Joe, you were swooped. Wellington Point. Princess Street. Sounds lovely, not a great place to go right now. I've got to say that, you know, when it comes to this time of the year, I get terrified. I haven't ridden a bike since high school for this reason. True story. A moment happened to me. Something happened. Look at this. You're all like, is that your bird? No, but that's what I picture was behind me. When I was about grade 10, I took out my bike. I was riding on this curb. And I was having a good old time, and all of a sudden, I just heard the flapping of those wings. You know that sound? And you're like, I'm going to die. And instantly, I remember in grade 10, I was like, I'm going to survive. I'm going to survive this. I'm a man. I've got this, right? I thought quick. I moved my bike off the edge of this curb, not realizing that the gutter was very deep. It was actually a storm pipe. My bike went over. I flipped over the handlebars, and the bird just kept swooping me. I'm lying there. It just kept swooping me, and I still remember to this day, an old woman across the road came out of her house, and she yells at me while I'm being swooped. She goes, excuse me, young man. I'm looking up. She goes, there's magpies. Well, thanks, Captain Obvious. I thought, well, what's the point of that? Getting swooped right now. Bring a broom or something. And I remember getting swooped for a few minutes. I pretended to act dead and it left me alone. Story is, I survived, but actually wasn't because I acted dead. It was actually because of one thing that I was wearing that day, my beloved Stack hat. We've got a... Oh! Does anyone remember the Stack hat? Ricky, did you have a Stack hat? What color was it? Living the dream. All right, okay. Anyone else have a Stack hat? Anyone else have a Stack hat? Only Ricky. Ricky and I. We'll start a gang up here. Bikey gang. We'll have Stack hats. It'll be sick. Okay, right? I remember this. This was pretty much, it was white or there was orange. My brother won one in a competition. It was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles one. And I thought, you have made it in life, right? Like, you have made it. I had the dodgy, but this saved my life. This bird kept hitting me. Like, I remember I could still hear the beak, like, bang, into the back of the thing. And I remember thinking, this saved my life. This Stack hat, this ugly-looking thing saved my life. I remember walking home feeling a bit embarrassed. But, you know, here it is. This is the helmet of salvation, okay? The final piece in the puzzle of this amazing series on the armor of God. We're going to talk about the helmet of salvation today. And I think my hope today is that you will have an assurance of where you're going if you die. An assurance of where you're going if you die. I think it's something that we all come to terms with. And at the current stage, I mean, look, when it comes to this season we're in, everyone's fearful of death. Fearful of death either because they had a vaccine or they didn't have a vaccine, if they had COVID or not. But we're fearful of death. It's kind of one of those things that's talked about a lot. And I do want to say this before we go any further, because I know I'm going to get bombarded by questions out in the foyer after. What's our stance? Where are we at? What's going on? We know that New South Wales at the moment is going to this stage where churches, you have to be double vaccinated to go to church. And we need to be praying for our leaders. We need to be praying for our leaders. And I don't know all the answers. I don't know where Queensland's going to go, but I'll say this, church. We are a family. And whatever we do in this season, we will do it together. Where there's unity, a blessing is commanded. Where there's unity. And so I don't care if that means we do something. I actually don't have all the answers. And pray for your pastors around because we're all getting bombarded with this stuff. But I'll tell you this, we are a family and we will do it together. Whatever it takes, okay? And I don't care what side of the coin you flip in this conversation. If we are put in a position where we have to make decisions, the decision will come out of unity and how everyone is included, okay? And so that's what I have to say for it right now. Be praying for our pastors that have to navigate this, especially in New South Wales, Victoria. God is still in control. He is going to be continuously in control. He still died on a cross, rose from the dead, and we are talking about salvation today. We are talking about an assurance that you know that you know that you know where you're going no matter what. Okay? And that's what we're going to be unpacking today. And I want to talk about this passage of Scripture again, Ephesians 6. If you haven't gone and read it, go and read it this week. I cannot tell you enough that in this season, you need to be in the Word of God more than ever before. More than ever before. You need to be reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word, taking in the Word of God and not taking in ideas about the Word of God, just little snippets. You need to be in the Word of God. You need to be seeking the Holy Spirit every week, every day. As a pastor of this church, I'm seeking God and saying, Holy Spirit, give me wisdom. Holy Spirit, give me discernment. Holy Spirit, show me which way to go. Light up my path. Be a lamp unto my feet. Show me which way to go. It's interesting that God gives us a lamp unto our feet. He doesn't give us a spotlight. And quite often people come to pastors and they say, show me the spotlight. Show me the end game. Show me. And it's like, God's only given me a light unto my feet. So I take one step at a time and I trust him each step. Okay? And so that's where I'm at right now. And when Paul was writing to this early church, he was talking about this idea of a spiritual armor. Spiritual armor. He said, you know what a Roman looks like in their physical armor. I'm going to tell you, you need spiritual armor. Just like you are a fleshly being, you are also a spiritual being. There's more going on inside you than just flesh and blood. You have a spirit and a soul, and you need to protect it. He's also writing this to the early church. They've just received Christ. So they've said, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and I'm laying my life down. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to follow Jesus, right? So they're at this stage, and then Paul writes these words to them because he's already identified and highlighted that, hey, just so you know, you are a new creation. We talked about a couple of weeks ago, you used to have a heart of stone. Now it's a heart of flesh. Something changed internally in your spiritual being. And then also we know that in Romans 12, 2, it says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So Paul's identifying that you actually receive a new mind as well when you receive Christ. And because you have a new mind, now you need to protect your new mind, that Christ-like mind. You cannot go back to your old ways of thinking. However, you will be attacked to a place where you want to. When you receive Christ, you have a new heart, you have a new mind, you are a new creation. And that's why when Paul writes from jail in chains to the early church, he writes this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. And over the last few weeks, we've unpacked these different parts. If you want to listen to it, go back, listen to the podcast. I actually believe it could change your life. If you just go and listen, spend some time with God and meditate on what we've talked about over the last 6 odd weeks, it says this, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Beck talked about it so brilliantly 2 weeks ago, the importance of an action involved with taking up the shield, not just having the shield, but actually putting it into action, putting your faith into action, trusting God on what he said is true. And then finally, it says this, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're talking about the helmet of salvation today. What is the helmet of salvation? First and foremost, I want to point out that in the scripture, I went and read a bunch of different interpretations because it kind of grabbed me. It doesn't say, hey, put on the helmet of salvation. It says, take it. Take it. Take the helmet of salvation. That says to me that it's on offer, but you get to choose if you are going to take it or not. It's a bit like when you leave the house, you take your keys, your wallet, your phone. These days, I always forget my mask. Anyone with me, right? And then you go back, you get the mask, right? And so you take it with you for your daily duty. Something you take with you. It's your choice to take it, but Paul's saying, hey, take this helmet of salvation. Take it with you day in, day out. Take it with you in your day, in your week, in your month, your year. Take it in your life. It's going to protect you from the attack of the enemy at exactly the right time. There's going to be times in your life where you need a helmet. Maybe you're riding through a season on your push bike where you know that if you go through this season, you're going to need that helmet. It's interesting, the Roman soldiers didn't wear their helmet at all times. They actually wore it around their chest. They placed it on at the right time. They didn't actually wear it all the time. And it's very interesting too that the Roman helmet was designed in a way, and this is something that we need to understand as Christians, because we think, I'll put on my helmet and it protects me from the world. What you're picturing is burying your head in the sand, like an ostrich. But a Roman helmet was designed to protect the skull, but it had actually space for your ears to be exposed, so you had the ability to hear. Not only that, it actually had a free face. You could see and you could speak. God does not want you to be stupid. He wants you to focus, take in, but also have the helmet on to protect you from the attack. Okay? And so take your helmet with you. Wear it at the time when you need it. When you get bombarded with stuff, put on that helmet. Now the question is, what's it supposed to protect us from? Well, I know for myself as a Christian, I've been in church my whole life, but I've been in times in my life where I felt like I wasn't good enough to be a Christian. So I didn't go to church for a while because I was stuffing up in my life and I was making decisions that I wasn't proud of. And so there's anyone ever been through a season like that? Come on, be honest with me. Some of you are like, no, I'm perfect. Okay, right. So there's these lies that bombard us that say you're not good enough for Jesus. You aren't good enough for Jesus. I just want us to walk away today going, I'm good enough. I am good enough. I have the helmet of salvation, and this helmet of salvation, nothing is going to penetrate my mind to tell me otherwise. It protects the truths that we have stored in our mind. It protects the truths of who Jesus is and what he did on the cross. That's what the helmet of salvation does. You know, 2 weeks ago, Beck talked about how the devil schemes. He'll come after your faith. He'll come after your faith. That's why I have to pick up the shield of faith. At the same time, who knows, the devil likes to attack something, and that is your mind. Your mind. He will go after your mind, because if he can convince you to believe something, you've already lost. So your mind has to be protected. It's incredibly important. You know, mental health at the moment is a huge conversation these days. Your mind needs to be protected. You know, it's easy to think, actually, when we talk about the helmet of salvation, because in the practical, it's not like we talked about the breastplate of righteousness, putting on the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about a few weeks ago that we can go to our headspace of, well, putting on the breastplate of righteousness is being good and doing what is right. It's our action. But we learned that the breastplate of righteousness is actually Christ on us. It's because of who he is and what he did. He makes us right before God. All right? And so the same thing is with the helmet of salvation. The helmet is actually not there to keep your mind pure. It's not actually about, you know, stopping evil thoughts and all of this sort of stuff. It's not about behavior modification. If I just do better, then I'll be more in line with being loved by God. And I think every one of us could agree that we've at some stage in our life tried to do better, more good to try and make up for the dumb stuff we did. And we're actually trying to do this thing called karma, which is completely and absolutely ungodly. It's not how God functions. It's not how he functions. In fact, we need to understand that even when the scriptures are written, like in Philippians 4:8, says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Those scriptures are in response to receiving Christ's love. They are not things to get Christ's love. They are an outpouring of who we should be as followers of Jesus because we understand God's love. We know that we have the helmet of salvation. We are completely assured of what Jesus did on the cross. Completely assured that Jesus did everything. We did nothing. He did everything so we could be reconciled to God the Father. Now, for some of you, you're like, yeah, but don't we have to be good? Don't we? We still got to do good, right? Like we've got a good person. Our response to Jesus is that we want to live like him. But the helmet of salvation shows us that it's actually not about that. So much more following Jesus. And in fact, we need to understand the helmet of salvation constantly will remind us that we are sinners. We do deserve punishment. However, it's Jesus that took the punishment and we can sit free. You don't believe me? You're like, no, but I should be good, right? Well, let's just look at the scripture. I'm going to show you a bunch of scripture today, and I want you to go read this yourself because you need to know that you know that you know and be assured that God loves you as you are right now. Right now. He's not waiting for you to get to some level. Every other religion, get to different levels. Jesus, he loves you right now. Okay? In fact, Romans 5, 6 to 8 summarizes it because it says this, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you're still broken, right now in your mess, God loves you. Right now. He loves you. The beautiful thing about the helmet of salvation and why he says take it, he doesn't say put it on or assumes, he says take it. He's saying it's a free gift. You get to take it if you want it. Anyone ever got a gift and never opened it? Like at Christmas, it's got your name on it, as, and you're like, no, I don't want it. Of course not. It's like, ooh, what's the gift? The gift of the helmet of salvation is a beautiful gift to place on ourselves when we start to feel like we're rubbish, we're missing the point. Because it has nothing to do with us. It's God's gift completely. His grace and his forgiveness is so readily available if you would receive his gift. In fact, God's heart, ever since the beginning of time, was trying to show his people that it's not about us being good. It's about him loving us first. And I want to unpack a passage of scripture, one of my favorite passages of scripture, really old story found in Numbers. This is thousands of years before Jesus. A really bizarre little passage that you may have read, you may not have, in Numbers 21, verse 4. Story is, the Israelites have escaped Egypt. They're in the desert. They're roaming around. They haven't found the promised land yet. And then they start to mumble and complain. We know that story. It says, from Mount Hor, they set out from out by the way of the sea to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. Anyone relate with impatience? That's me. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Isn't it great? God gives them food and they're like, we loathe it. Can you imagine if your kids at the dinner table, mother, I loathe this food, right? Like, would you just be like, ugh, right? But they've been given manna and they're complaining that I not just dislike it, I loathe it. Unbelievable. Then the Lord actually gets pretty upset. God gets upset at this. I would be too. And he sends fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, a snake bites anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This story is such a fascinating one, isn't it? Because you're like, is that like idol worship? That's kind of weird. That seems like really out of character for God to get him to make something to look at. And then, like, up until now, these people probably thought, Moses, pray for us, and he'll come back and say, you're going to have to make this many sacrifices, you're going to have to do all of this stuff so you can get clean and then you won't die if you get bitten by a serpent. Instead, God says, hey, Moses, make this thing, put it up, and if they look at it, they'll be healed. And this happens. This happens. It's one of those stories that you read it, and then it just moves on into the next story. It doesn't give any, you're like, is there more to this? Is there more to this story? You know, as I said in the past, God may have done a bunch of different things, but no, they just have to look and they're healed. They look and they're healed. If you didn't know, this story appears in the New Testament as well. Jesus talks about this story. In fact, we often don't read it because it's just before John 3:16, the most famous quoted scripture of all time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Yeah, you know the one. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So John 3:16, this passage is happening. Before it though, John 3:1 to 15, you find Jesus having a conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a religious leader of the time. He comes to Jesus in the night because he's very confused. He actually says this, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher that's come from God because he's seen the miracles. For no one can do these signs like you're doing. Jesus answers him and says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is not born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is very confused by this whole born again thing. Anyone ever heard the idea of being born again, right? In Pentecostal world, be born again. You're a born again Christian. One of those things. But what he's saying is you have to start fresh. We talked about it. When you receive Christ, you're a new creation. So you're being born again. New mind, mind of Christ, new heart. Okay. And so he's talking about this. He's explaining it to Nicodemus. He says, you need to be a new creation. And then he says this in verse 13 of John 3. He says this, no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. He talks about himself. I'm the only one who's been to heaven, Nicodemus. And I'm going to tell you something. And then Jesus drops a truth bomb to Nicodemus about how you too can have eternal life and go to heaven. And he says this. He says in verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, the crucifixion, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Wow. Understand, Jesus has not been crucified yet, and no one thinks he's going to be crucified. John 3:16, we quote it all the time, is actually a prophecy about to come to pass. This is not Jesus has rose from the dead and now he's talking about, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, whoever should believe. Like, this is actually a prophecy of what's to come. Amazing. Jesus is telling Nicodemus in the same conversation of what's going to happen with the Son of Man. Notice when he's talking to Nicodemus, he doesn't say to Nicodemus, okay. And just like the serpent was raised, he doesn't go, and so, if you want eternal life, you need to be a good person. Don't speed in your car. Don't swear. Don't flip the bird to the person that cut you off. Don't do bad stuff. Then you'll be saved. In fact, Jesus literally just says, hey, just like that pole was raised up, I'm going to be raised up. And anyone who believes in me being raised up, you are going to be saved. There's no action except one thing. What is it? Believe. Believe and you'll be saved. You know, it's so interesting because we as Christians resort back to do. And God keeps saying, believe. Whole lives, I need to be better. Jesus is like, just believe what I did for you. Romans 10:6. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, so you believe the resurrection is true. If you're sitting here in this place today and your heart just goes, God, I know you're raised from the dead. Jesus, I know. And you believe it. You will be saved. And you can have the assurance of the helmet of salvation. You can have the assurance that no matter what gets taken from you, you will be alive. Because you have the helmet of salvation. And I know that even some of you right now are still wondering, but hang on, I got to be good, right? I got to be good because you came in here. That is the lie of the devil coming in and saying, you need to be good before you get grace. It's the opposite way around. The opposite way around. In fact, in Romans 8, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Once you receive that Jesus died and rose from the dead, there's no condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. You're like, Az, is it that simple? Maybe you're like, is it that simple that if I just believe that Jesus is who he said he was, that I can be saved, that I know that my eternal being, I was already dead and I've come alive, my spirit's alive and I will be in heaven. I know where I'm going. I don't care what happens to my physical being because I know where my spirit's going. That's what freedom feels like. When every day you wake up and you don't care if you die because you know where you're going. How do I know that it's that simple? That the gospel, the good news of Jesus is that simple? We overcomplicate it. Well, we see the story of Jesus on the cross. He's hanging on the cross. In Luke 23, 32 to 43, you can go read the story. There's two criminals side by side with him being crucified at the same time. And one of the criminals, it says in verse 39, was hanging there and railed against Jesus and starts saying to Jesus, "Are you the Christ? Save yourself and us." The mockery. Jesus has done no wrong. Never sinned. He's perfect. He's just been whipped to a place where he's unrecognizable. He's had his hands and his feet pierced by the nails. He's bleeding out and this guy is mocking him. If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. In verse 40, though, the other one, the other side of him rebuked him. And he says this, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." This criminal already believed in Jesus, because he called out his innocence. He's done nothing wrong. And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, this is Jesus, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Church, what did the criminal do to receive eternal life with Jesus? He just believed. He didn't have a life of doing good deeds and social justice action. He didn't help the poor. He just believed. And that was enough for Jesus. You know, this is the battle we face as Christians when we're attacked from all areas, because I know what it's like. I remember years ago, I was in the middle of a lake with some mates. We had decided to row to the other side of this lake on a camping trip. And on the way across the lake, the two biggest guys on our trip, they were like 6 foot something, they rowed with massive muscles and got us to the other side. And on the way back, it was my mate and I that had to row back. Little dweebs. And the wind just happened to be coming up against us to get back to the other side. So as you can imagine, we were incredibly frustrated to start with. And these big, heavy, 6 foot, eight guys are sitting in this boat going, "Come on." And we're about halfway in the lake and the oar snaps in half. Not proud of it, but there was some expletives. I lost it. I just cracked. I absolutely cracked it. And you know, I still remember this mate, because they weren't Christians, this mate going, "Aren't you supposed to be a Christian? You shouldn't be swearing like that." And I was like, oh. And I knew it was true, but I was still so angry. And I got so mad, I told him to drop me off on one side. I walked the full lake because I was so angry at them. And the whole time I walked, I just thought, yeah, that's right. I am supposed to be. Because who has had a moment in their life where we've failed? Representing Jesus well. Thank God Jesus doesn't judge us on what we do, but who he is. The helmet of salvation, reminds us when we fall to put it back on, wear it, and don't believe the lie. We repent, we say sorry, we get back in the game. It's the assurance that Jesus died on the cross, rose again, so that he would give us salvation. Not our actions, but him. Do we aim to be more like Jesus every day? Yes, 100%. We want to be more like Christ. I would love to know that Redlands Elevation, anyone who ever met any of you guys, they would go, your God must be real. Because you just love like no one else. Your God must be real because you're full of peace when everyone else is full of fear. Your God must be real because when everyone else is down and out, you have a joy that I can't explain. Yeah, absolutely. We want to be more like Jesus. And when we focus on Jesus, that is the overflow of Jesus in our life. If we get it wrong, does it change the way God sees us? No. He doesn't. It doesn't change anything. You could have done the worst thing last night, walked into church this morning feeling guilty as all hell. That's the Holy Spirit just bringing conviction. Say sorry and start again. Understand that God loves you. Maybe you've never heard that. God actually loves you. Right where you're at. Not after you fix all your life's problems. Don't try and figure it out. Then come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and let him figure it out. There's one thing I know about Jesus is that he constantly messes with my head. The first time I ever felt, I shared this in the 8 o'clock. The first time I felt the Holy Spirit, I felt Jesus himself say, I love you. And I was a life-altering moment. I wouldn't be standing here today if this moment didn't happen. Happened directly after a moment of disobedience. Literally had to preach at a youth camp. Had to bring a message for this youth group. I had 5 hours off. I'd been on the road. I was doing a whole bunch of stuff. And I really wanted to watch a movie that I knew was absolute trash. And I knew it was going to be bad for me, right? Because it was really popular. And I weighed this up. Have you ever been in a battle of your mind? Oh, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. You know what's right, but you do what's wrong. Paul talks about this. I do the things I don't want to do, and then the things that I know I should do, I don't do. Because it's a war against flesh and spirit. This is this war that we're in. And I remember going to this movie. I just went and got the ticket anyway. I knew I was rebelling when I got the ticket. I knew when I sat down I was rebelling. I knew I shouldn't be there. And then I started watching this movie and it was absolutely worse than anything I'd ever seen. And I'm watching it and I felt like a shell of a man. I felt like I lost my soul, right? I genuinely was just like, I feel so filthy. And I actually got up and walked out. And I felt like trash. I just felt like I knew I wasn't supposed to do it. I remember sitting on the side of the beach up at Alexandra Headlands and opening my Bible because I had to preach that night. I go, what can I possibly preach? Now, I am the biggest hypocrite. Anyone ever felt that? Glad we're all family here. Because we all feel it. Because we fail and, you know, this is the thing. And I remember just thinking, oh my gosh. And so I didn't even know what to speak that night. I felt so trash. And I opened my Bible and it opened to the crucifixion story. For the first time in my life, I read it. Because I'd heard it so many times, I read it. Actually, you know when you hear something, you never read it. You hear it at Easter, so you never read it. But now I'm actually reading it. And as I'm reading the crucifixion story, it hit me like a wave. Just like this inner voice hit me like a wave. Aaron, I love you. And I was like, no one calls me Aaron. Aaron, I love you. And it just wouldn't stop. Then I started arguing with the voice. I was like, but I've just stuffed up. I've just seen this. I feel like trash. I can't unsee what I've seen. And the Holy Spirit just came out. I love you. I don't care. I love you anyway. I love you anyway. That's what the helmet of salvation feels like when you wear it. I love you anyway. I love you anyway. I love you anyway. 1 John 4:15 to 19 says this. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, that's your decision to say, I know who you are. God abides in him and he in God. Abide simply means you kind of accept and act in accordance with each other. So you're now in this relationship with each other. You just want to please each other. And it says this, So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God. So when you're in a relationship with love, you're in a relationship with God, and God abides in him, and then God actually becomes part of who you are. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also we are in this world. And it says this, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out all fear. Church, if you are riddled with fear, you need to know perfect love, and you need to know him in a personal, intimate way. Because perfect love drives out all fear. You can hold your head up high. When the whole world's falling down, you can hold your head up high and go, I know love. I don't have fear. I know Jesus. It says this, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. And I love this passage. This is one statement, because we say, well, we want to be more like Jesus. We do want to be more like Jesus. And there's an overflow. It's a bubbling up. When I know Jesus, I'm going to be more like Jesus. The closer I get to him, the more I can't help be like him. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness. He's on our chest. When he's closest to us, we can't help but reflect who he is. We become those around us. And if Christ is that close to my heart, I'm going to pour out who he is. Says this, we love because he first loved us. Let's never forget it. We need to put on the helmet of salvation this week. When you come under the attack of the enemy that says you're not good enough, you failed, you stuffed up, you know what you need to do? You just need to come back to Jesus and say, I'm sorry, and accept his love again. Accept it, that he loves you anyway. You can't change it. I'm sorry. You cannot stop him from loving you. And he will keep chasing you down with his love. So accept the gift. May we put on the helmet of salvation. May we, like that bronze snake being lifted up, they just looked. All they did was gaze upon it and they were healed. It's the same for us. When we're feeling broken and messed up, all we need to do is, like Jesus said, you need to fix your gaze upon him, and he will bring you the healing you need. It's that simple. If someone's told you to be a follower of Jesus, there's more than that. They're lying. Jesus did everything, and he continues to do everything. We just have to receive the gift and wear that helmet of salvation when the lies come at you and say you're not good enough. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for the helmet of salvation, the assurance that we can wear on our head, God, that you did everything on the cross. You died and you rose again so that we could have eternal life with you. God, that we don't have to have fear of death because we are alive, we are eternal, because we believe in you. Maybe you've never ever actually gone, Jesus, I believe in you, and I actually want to confess it. I believe you rose from the dead. I want to accept your love. I want to accept your love even though I know I'm broken right now. God, would you come into my life? Would you change me from the inside out? Would I learn to love you back? If that's you here today, you've never actually said, Jesus, I believe in you and I want to follow you on, receive this love, because you need to receive the love. The free gift. If you want that love in your life, you need to know that God loves you and you want to follow him. Just raise your hand right now so I can pray with you. Because this is one of the most beautiful things, to receive his love. Put up your hand if you're here today and you want to receive that love. All right. Oh, yeah. So good. So good. Stop for a moment, man. It's talking to you. Just everyone else. Guy, put up his hand. Mate, I just want you to know that God loves you. Like he died, if it was just, he would die for you and you alone. And he loves you so much, he died so you could know God in a personal way. All you have to do is confess your sin. Say, God, I'm sorry. Take me in. I want to receive your love. God, I pray that right now in this young man's life. He'll follow you all the days of his life. Father, that your love would just be poured out so much. He would never strive for your affection. He He would know it's available whenever He wants it. For other people here in the room, this is for us, okay, because I know I fall into the trap of behavior, trying to be good. And as soon as I do that, I know I've missed the point. And maybe you're there right now and you actually need that moment where I had that moment, Aaron, I love you. And you've never heard God speak that to your heart, your spirit man. It's never been there. So you've tried and strived and you've tried to be good and religious, but it's not working. And you want to know the love of God. I want to pray for the love of God for anyone who wants to receive the love of God. So put up your hand really high if you want to receive. Yep. If you want to receive the love of God, just put your hand up so I know who I'm praying for. That's beautiful. God, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, your love would be poured out. Your love would be poured out for your sons and your daughters. Holy Spirit, I pray a revelation of who Jesus really is and what He did on the cross. Nothing we can do to gain His acceptance. He just loves us first. God, I pray for those individuals that they would love out of a response to that love, not out of striving, trying to be good, trying to find your affection, God, because you already love us. So God, I pray you would pour your love out on those that need to know your love today. God, this week when they come under attack, they don't feel good enough. God, I pray that they would put on that helmet of salvation. They would remind themselves of who they are because of who you are. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.